M&M cookie with ice cream sandwich.
So when you make your own ice cream,
mm-hmm.
So do you like make it in a bag? Because that's how I've done it, as I made ice cream like in a bag.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have a machine for it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes, I have a little Cuisinart machine, and it's super easy to make. You leave the inside part in the freezer, so it's moving it around. That part of the machine is frozen, so it does it more quickly. It takes maybe 20 minutes is all to make some really good ice cream.
Because I went to this weird, it was like a science competition thing that our class, like the top of the class students got to go to. Oh. I don't know why I was there. I was not a great science mind. But part of the competition was then we would make ice cream. And you would have to, and then it was like a competition.
Is that where you learned to do it in a bag?
Yeah.
What kind of bag? What, I don't understand.
Just a big, like a big plastic bag. And then you put then like all the ingredients in the bag and like squish them all together. And then you like freeze it somehow. I don't remember how we froze it.
Huh.
But we made like a strawberry peanut butter type ice cream.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Sorry.
It's fine.
I know.
We didn't win.
I've never heard ice cream in a bag. Huh.
So let us know if you've ever made ice cream in a bag. Text us at 288-326-1234. We receive support from the First State Bank of Big Fork with branches in Big Fork and Kellyer, offering tools for managing money on any mobile device. Hometown banking at its best since 1912. FSBBigFork.com. Member FDIC.
Our thanks also goes out to the Minnesota Board on Aging's legal kiosk. They offer no charge assistance with housing benefits, custody, and more. Legal kiosks located in libraries and local trusted community spaces connect Minnesotans with legal information and virtual meeting access. In some locations, court forms can be printed at no cost. Help is available in many languages. More at legalkiosk.org.
And you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
I have a report on the dimples front.
Oh, here we go.
I got a text. Lee from Hibbing texted in, "I used to have dimples, but now that I'm older, they blend with my smile lines. I was the youngest of four. The oldest had no dimples. The next one had one dimple on the left. The next had one dimple on the right.
Wow.
But I was blessed with two dimples." Wow, Lee. Thank
you. That's amazing.
I bet that was a thing.
Oh, I bet so.
Ooh. The oldest probably trying to downplay dimples and making them sound like they're bad.
Oh.
Huh.
Well, thank you for sharing.
It's genetic, perhaps, yeah. Huh? Yeah. I guess that would make sense.
Maybe. Now it's time for headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In Central Texas, there are now 109 known dead from a July 4th flood that saw the Guadalupe River crest at 25 feet, tearing through residential areas and notably children's summer camps. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas says there are 161 known to be missing. He says five children and one counselor remain missing from the all-girls Camp Mystic.
Nothing is as heart-wrenching is hearing the stories of what the girls around here, especially the girls at Camp Mystic, went through. To see where they lived in one moment, where they disappeared the next moment, and were gone forever.
President Trump plans to visit the scene of the disaster on Friday. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has declared a state of emergency after the city of Ruidoso was hit by devastating flash flooding. NPR's Ryland Barton says wildfires tore through the area last year.
Fatalities include a man between age 40 and 50, a 4-year-old girl, and a 7-year-old boy who were caught in rushing floodwaters. Search and rescue efforts are ongoing. The flash flooding began Tuesday afternoon when heavy rain fell on burned areas from last year's wildfires. Emergency crews conducted over 50 swift water rescues. Governor Lujan Grisham said the state is mobilizing every resource it has and will need federal support to recover from the disaster. She added that Ruidoso deserves the same urgent response as Texas Texas received for its devastating flooding that killed over 100 people last week. Ryland Barton, NPR News.
A day after heavily armed immigration agents and armored vehicles swept a Los Angeles park, the city joined a federal lawsuit challenging the tactics used in ICE raids. Steve Futterman reports.
The lawsuit accuses the federal government of using racial profiling and excessive use of force. Mayor Karen Bass, for a second straight day, criticized the agents' tactics, including what she says is a lack of identification.
Men will jump out, completely masked, pull guns, and take them away. How do we know the difference between this and a kidnapping?
City Attorney Heidi Feldstein Soto calls the actions unlawful.
These unconstitutional roundups and raids cannot be allowed to continue. They cannot become the new normal.
Homeland Security says nearly 2,800 have been arrested in the LA area since last month, but the agency hasn't commented specifically on the MacArthur Park operation. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
World markets shares in Asia were mixed overnight as trade deal talks with the U.S.-dominated foreign capitals. Wall Street, the S&P 500 and the Dow both closed yesterday in negative territory. Dow futures up 30. This is NPR News. French President Emmanuel Macron today continues his meetings with leaders of Great Britain to discuss a potential ceasefire plan for Ukraine. Also on the agenda, how to prevent migrants from crossing the English Channel in small boats. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has cleared the way for the state to ban conversion therapy. It's a scientifically discredited attempt to use therapy to force gay people to be heterosexual. Mayon Silver from WUWM reports.
Since April 2024, a Wisconsin professional licensing board has labeled conversion therapy unprofessional. But a GOP-controlled legislative committee in charge of approving state agency regulations has blocked the provision twice. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has now ruled the committee has been overreaching its authority. That will allow Democratic Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers' administration to move forward with a ban on conversion therapy. The 4-3 ruling from the liberal-controlled court comes amid a national battle over LGBTQ plus rights. In March, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to hear a Colorado case about whether state and local governments can enforce laws banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ plus children. For NPR News, I'm Ayan Silver in Milwaukee.
A major figure in the world of fashion was missing at Paris Couture Week. Giorgio Armani Privé's fashion house icon missed his first in-person bow in 20 years. The 91-year-old designer was under doctor's orders to rest after a recent hospital stay. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org.
And that was Say She with a new tune, Cut and Rewind, here on the Wednesday Morning Show. My name is Andrew DeZingle, here with Heidi Holton.
And support comes from AW Research Laboratories in Brainerd, reminding private well owners to test their drinking water annually. Common well contaminants such as bacteria, nitrates, and arsenic are odorless, tasteless, and colorless. More information and test kits available at awlab.com.
And we receive support from Paul Bunyan Communications, Northern Minnesota's Apple Service Center in Bemidji and Grand Rapids, offering both in-warranty and out-of-warranty service on Apple products and computer repair. More at paulbunyan.net.
Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, it is Malachi Coons for Headwaters.
Time now for our monthly segment with the Beltrami County Master Gardeners called Twist and Sprout. Today we're joined by Amber Burry and Kathleen Gripman to talk about the upcoming county fair. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, well, first off, let's talk about kind of the urgency of the recent storm happening. A lot of gardens might have been really affected by this, and maybe not damaged maybe by the storm itself, but with trees going down, there's going to be more sun maybe on gardens. So let's talk about it. What are some things people can do to repair their gardens after a storm like this?
Well, a lot of question for a short amount of time. A lot of things that you can do are just if you have like a perennial garden that was mostly shade, you can plant a like fast growing shade tree or a bush to help keep that shade there, keep it well watered, and then kind of cross your fingers and see what makes it. And then you might have to kind of adjust your planting going forward. But for this year, it's just kind of seeing what'll survive. Because I know I've had people tell me that trees fell on their garden.
Oh.
Like completely destroyed what was there. So there's some things that you just can't do much with this year until everything gets cleaned up. And then you kind of see what your shade and what your sun is going to look like going forward. And then also what you're going to replant for trees or shrubs in that same area.
Do you have a recommendation for like trees or shrubs to plant?
I do not off the top of my head, but Kathy might.
You could, if you have like a mottled shade, like from a neighbor's property where they didn't lose as many trees or something like that, you could try like purple nine bark, which is something that's easy to get at all of the local businesses. That bush gets about 5 feet high and about 4 feet wide, so it'll give you a nice shade. It weeps a pink flower, so it's real pretty. You could try mock oranges. They will get a little bit leggy, but they have a really nice smell when they bloom.
Ooh, nice.
And they will get 4 feet high. And you could also try viburnums. Viburnums do well in the shade as well as in the sun. And some are specifically bred for that mix between sun and shade. So again, you can, if your neighbor's trees didn't get destroyed, you could use the dappled shade viburnums, or you can use the full sun viburnums. And those will get 5 or 6 feet tall, and they will also get about 4 to 5 feet wide. So again, they will create a good shade. And then, of course, you always have our lilacs.
Did you guys have damage where you are, or neighbors or anything?
I live out off of Power Dam Road, and I live a mile from Power Dam on a dirt road, and every house lost trees, and every house but three could not get out of their driveways.
Wow.
So we had to cut them out of their driveways and then cut our way to Power Dam Road. But we were able to cut to Power Dam Road in 4 hours.
Okay.
Everybody out there owns a chainsaw.
Yeah.
I think every chainsaw was in use for days.
So it's hard to believe, but we're already approaching county fair time of the year. The summer is going quick. And so there's competitions that are going on and exhibits that'll be at the Beltrami County Fair. Let's talk about it. What exhibits will be featured that the Master Gardeners are a part of?
So the Master Gardeners are in charge of the horticulture area at the county fair, and the horticulture building is right next to the fire tower. So look for the fire tower, and we're part of that commercial building. So it's really easy to find. And it's open class exhibiting, which means absolutely anybody can bring any exhibits that they want, as long as they fit within the parameters of the premiums. So you don't have to live in the county. You can live in Clearwater County and bring in stuff to show at our fair.
What do you mean by parameters of the premiums?
So, like we have, for example, potato categories.
Okay.
So it's like russet potatoes, and you have to have a certain amount of potatoes in your exhibit.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So
okay.
In your entry. So make sure you just follow that, or a certain amount of blooms. Like for marigolds, I think you need 3 blooms. Uh-huh. So just making sure that you have the right amount, okay, and the right category, because we have a lot of categories. And it's the same for the home arts side too. The home arts is on the other side of the building, and they have a lot of your canned goods, the
baking,
yeah. Yep, sewing, all the quilts are over there. I love whenever they hang up all their quilts, because it just makes the whole building light up. So, yep. And I think now that we've kind of gotten through the storm cleanup, people can take a look at what they might have available still in their gardens. And so if you think that you have a lot of exhibits, pre-register, because we do register day of entry day, which is Wednesday, the 6th of August. But if you have a lot, pre-register. And even if you don't bring it, it's a lot easier just to delete those than to add them the day of.
I see.
So,
and how do you do it? How do you register?
You can register online. They've been doing the online registration for a couple years now, and it's really easy to use. Or you can print off a registration form and fill it out and mail it in, or drop it off. I would say dropping it off at the fair office would probably be your last resort, because they are doing road construction on Fairgrounds Road.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard to get there sometimes with all the road construction, but they're hoping to have that done by fair time. So that road should be nice and smooth for all the people coming.
So with so many categories and kind of rules of like how many blooms need to be on like the plant, is there like a website that lists all the categories and
yep.
has like those requirements?
Yep. So that is on BeltramiCountyFair.org. And you can get the whole premium list, which has everything from home arts and horticulture listed in it. And then they also do have printed ones available at the fair office. There's a couple of right outside the fair office door, the 4-H building. They have some like mail things where they have printed out premium lists for those that just don't want to print that much or look online.
So the Beltrami County Master Gardeners, they run that horticultural area. Does that mean you guys cannot submit something to that?
The only people that can't enter is if they're judging it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
So yeah. Who are the judges?
Yeah.
The judges are local people that are kind of experts in their field. So like in past years we've gotten we usually get somebody that's in the, for judging arrangements, we try to get somebody that is a florist that has like a floral shop owner, because they are very extremely, you know, experienced in that field. We also have beer and wine categories. So we try and get people that are like in that industry that are, you know, have that experience. So, or have specialized training. So, yeah.
So what are the judges looking for?
The main thing is consistency. So if it has like a certain color for flowers, if it has a certain color and number of blooms, don't enter like 2 red and 1 white. Like look for consistency. So enter all white or all red, uh-huh. unless it specifically says otherwise. So, yeah.
So for the Beltrami County Master Gardeners, is it a situation where when the fair is happening, it's like all hands on deck kind of situation?
Yes.
Yep. Kathleen, you're nodding your head very vigorously.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much it's every master gardener in our area and the adjoining areas come together for those days at the fair, and we man the the tables and the fair, the building, all day, every day until it's over with. We start a day before to set it up, and we start a day afterwards to break it down.
We're also available. What she means by man the areas, we're available for questions.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask.
As people walk through, if they have questions about the exhibits or they have questions about their gardens at home, we have at least two people on hand at all times to help answer all those questions. So. Yeah.
And so is each category, is it like first, second, third place, or is it just one person?
It's first, second, third.
Okay.
And then first goes to the state fair?
In our area, it's not required that you have to get a ribbon in our fair to go to the state fair.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So, it's another thing you can submit to. It's not... Okay.
Yep. Gotcha. So I know like 4-H'ers in their sections, if they get like a certain level, then they go off to the 4-H state fair stuff. Since open class is a little bit different than like the normal 4-H stuff.
I was telling Andrew that I love county fairs because they're just old fashioned and everybody still loves them.
Yep.
And it's like stepping back in time. You know, everybody's in a good mood. They're going to get the food. You're going to look at things you don't normally look at. Are plenty of people still getting involved and submitting to things like this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And actually, the Master Gardeners do, we have beyond the first, second, third, we also have some local sponsors. So like some of the local businesses, greenhouses and stuff will sponsor like best in category stuff. The Master Gardeners do usually do like a first-time exhibitor, kind of a special extra prize. And that's to encourage people to keep coming back and bringing in their exhibits. So it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to hear from both of you an answer for this question. Do you have a category you most looking forward to seeing during the county fair?
All the veggies.
Ooh.
I'm a veggie grower. I'm not as good at the flowers. My flowers are just kind of like there to make it look pretty. but I really like all the veggies. So I always love seeing what people can grow up here, especially with our shorter growing season. Some people bring in these humongous pumpkins, and I'm like, how did you get it that big this early? It's the beginning of August.
Yeah.
So I just love seeing what people are able to bring in, and the flowers are always so beautiful. So picking a favorite is really hard for me. So,
how about you, Kathleen?
I'm the flower person.
Okay.
I am very into pollinator gardens and sustainability and medicinal plants, those kinds of things. So I'm looking at the varieties that I see that are able to be grown up in this area, because it is a difficult area to grow. And then, of course, my heart goes to the flower arranging, because then you take it to the next level, to art.
Mm-hmm.
So I like both of those.
So it's a commitment to be part of the Master Gardener program. Why are you guys in this? Why do you do this? Yeah.
I've only been in 2 years. So last year I was an intern, this year I became full. And I would say I like the mission of the Master Gardeners, which is not just you love plants, but that you educate and help people appreciate what we can do and show them how to do it. And the U of M Extension has so many resources for us that we can then pass to, that people don't even know about, that we can then pass to them to help them enjoy growing flowers or vegetables. Yeah. And so I like that whole process, the camaraderie of being in a room with other people that like to grow things, and also then the process of educating and helping people to learn to love it.
I'm on the same wavelength as Kathleen. Like, I got into it for the education side of it. I already was, you know, growing all the stuff already, and people would ask me a million questions, and I'm like, that's just how I've always done it. That's how I grew up doing it. But becoming a Master Gardener, now I can say, this is why we do it. I have that access to all the wonderful information from the extension, all the research that they've done, and now I can back up why we grow certain things up here that, you know, maybe we can't grow elsewhere. So
I think people forget that information is there, like either find you at your local county fair, or you can call people to find out information, right?
Yep, and we actually have a voicemail hotline that people can call in and leave a message, and somebody will answer your question and get back to you. That's what we do, is all about the education. So
excellent. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. Maybe what's the website one more time for people to register?
It's BeltramiCountyFair.org.
Excellent.
Yep. Thanks for coming in.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. So now we're going to play a new tune from Alex G. This song is called Afterlife. And that was my good friend Alex G from his upcoming album Headlights. That song is called Afterlife.
He is your good friend?
I like to think we would be friends if we ever met.
Oh, that's nice. That's kind of sweet.
That's Heidi Holton. I'm Andrew DeZingle. Support for KAXE comes from the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation, playing a vital role in connecting charitable intentions with community needs, awarding $30 million in grants and scholarships over the past 30 years to make a lasting impact in our area. More information at gracf.org.
Coming up, we'll have local news with the Up North Report. Don't forget, that's also available as a podcast. You can find the links at kaxe.org. Sunny today with highs in the high 70s to low 80s and southeast winds from 5 to 10. Increasing clouds tonight, lows 56 to 63 and looking like 84 to 87 for tomorrow, Thursday.
And we receive support from Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com. Now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. The body believed to be of a missing Cloquet man has been found north of Aiken. The Aiken County Sheriff's Office reports search and rescue personnel found the body on Monday after an extensive foot and air search. Drone images helped locate 64-year-old Daniel Joseph Lateral, who was first reported missing along with his significant other Jane Corpola in late May. Corpola's body was found last week near Lateral's SUV. His body was found in the same vicinity. The sheriff's office and Cloquet police are investigating. Authorities do not suspect foul play. A Kansas man drowned at Teteguch State Park on the 4th of July. The Lake County Sheriff's Office says just before 1 p.m., a man was reported underwater at Ilgen Falls. He had been under for about 10 minutes. 25-year-old Hurry Kiran Gaud Senagana from Overland Park, Kansas, was swimming with a group. Another in the group saw him struggling but was not able to help due to the depth of the water. Essentia Health will temporarily suspend services at 3 clinics if advanced practice providers strike as planned Thursday. The organization says closing the Emily, Hackensack, and Deerwood clinics would help consolidate staff where they can best meet patient needs. Advanced practice providers, or APPs, include nurse practitioners, physician assistants, certified nurse midwives, and clinical nurse specialists. Over 400 APPs across nearly 70 Essentia facilities in the Brainerd Lakes area, northeastern Minnesota, and northwest Wisconsin could strike. They say it's the only way to get Essentia's attention. APPs voted to unionize a year ago and say Essentia refuses to bargain. The healthcare organization is challenging the makeup of the bargaining unit because of its size and scale, noting the impact a work stoppage would have. Essentia says clinicians are reviewing patients with appointments at the impacted clinics. They will prioritize those with more severe needs. Governor Tim Walz signed an executive order on Tuesday to help provide disaster relief for veterans and their families in Beltrami County. The order authorizes the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to activate relief through the State Soldiers Assistance Program. Walz earlier declared a peacetime emergency in response to the severe storm that caused widespread damage in Bemidji and surrounding areas a little over 2 weeks ago. Assistance may help with housing, utilities, and other essential needs. There's also a new veteran-led nonprofit in town helping residents recover from the storm. Team Rubicon Volunteers, also known as Gray Shirts, have traveled from around the country to help with things like roof tarping, managing storm debris, and operating chainsaws. Volunteers are expected to spend the next 2 weeks helping. Team Rubicon Volunteers will wear distinctive gray shirts with their names written on the front and Team Rubicon printed on the front and back. These services are at no cost to the homeowner, city, or county. Find more information at our website, kaxe.org. The health maintenance organization UCARE will stop providing state-funded health coverage in 11 counties. 5 are in northern Minnesota, including Crow Wing, Pennington, Roseau, St. Louis, and Wadena. The Minnesota Star Tribune reports that financial troubles at the organization are the motivation behind the change. About 88,000 people will need to switch Medicaid health plans by September. The nonprofit health insurer suffered big losses last year managing care in the Medicaid and Medicare Advantage programs. UCARE is one of the largest health insurers in the state. The insurer says the move is temporary and it will continue to manage Medicaid benefits for about 250,000 people. The Star Tribune says UCARE's financial troubles predate the reductions in Medicaid spending passed in the recent congressional budget bill. The Minnesota Department of Human Services says it will help enrollees transition to alternate health plans from Medica and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota. UCARE officials say they don't anticipate significant disruptions for patients because other insurers have comprehensive Medicaid networks in the affected counties. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Boffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
And you are listening to the Wednesday Morning Show here on KAXE KBXE, People Powered Radio. My name is Andrew DeZingle here with Heidi Holton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we're here for another 24 minutes. Then we got to hand things over to Malachi Coons for Headwaters.
Yeah.
For a couple hours. And then after that, it's going to be World Cafe.
That's right. Coming up tonight, live music in Bemidji, Mississippi music at the Bemidji Waterfront. It's Mike Gunther and the Total Crapshoot. That's at 6 p.m. Glitterati at Concerts on the Pier in Duluth at 6:30. And Roy Allen tonight at the Aiken County Fair Activity Building from 7 to 9 o'clock.
And it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today, though there's still some patchy fog going on, and that's going to be going on until 10 a.m. Otherwise, the rest of the day should be sunny with highs in the high 70s, low 80s, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows 56 to 63. Tomorrow, though, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Otherwise, it should be sunny, highs 84 to 87 degrees. Feels like the weather's gotten a little more stable
lately. Yeah, not quite as... not quite as hot. We yeah. have a few of those days. We haven't put the air conditioners in. It's usually, it feels like we can make it through July, but then when those days hit in August, suddenly we get them out.
See, I need it not to hit in August because my new apartment rule is I'm going to have to pay for my electricity starting in August.
I don't know. I'm not saying we will have those days, you know.
Can you just tell me it's going to be cool and I won't need it?
But then you'll accuse me of lying afterwards if it happens.
That's the risk you take here.
I cannot guarantee that, but it has been a little cooler. I always feel a little guilty because I don't like it quite so hot, and I have a hard time getting out even in it when it's that hot. And the AQI, kind of the minute the air quality, when you start, I start to feel it in my throat. When it can be really bad. So it's been pretty good, though, lately. There's a handy dandy I like using. I don't realize sometimes how much I use my apps. I was using the Merlin app last night, all the birds that were on our, when I was sitting on our deck, and I was even hearing the bald eagle, and some new ones were popping up, and all like three different woodpeckers. Man, it was really fun just by turning that Merlin app on. It's so cool. And then AQI, there's an app for that as well that's helps you. It tells you where you are, what the air quality index is. So
excellent.
Kind of cool.
Excellent. Also, Grand Rapids Riverfest is Saturday, September 6th. This year's lineup, Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sprahawk. Tickets and info at Grand Rapids Riverfest. .com. You know, Jen, our very own, the franchise, Jen Kellen, told me she was handing out posters around the area, and one of the people saw that Courtney Barnett was on the list, and they were like, oh, how did you get Courtney Barnett?
Yeah.
Such a huge fan of Courtney Barnett.
I just saw Margot Price last weekend was on Austin City Limits on PBS. Oh my gosh, did she do a great show. Just on that, I think she only did four songs because they had two bands, but it's the whole day is going to be so great. And this is a time of the summer where people start to get really nervous, like, oh my God, summer's going by so fast.
Yep.
You know, they're just freaked out. Here's a really good thing, because sometimes maybe you're someone who entertains a lot and has people over all the time or does that kind of thing. But for Grand Rapids Riverfest, for me, I kind of look at it as a way to invite someone who might live somewhere else to like come to town and see this thing. And it extends your summer vacation a little bit. You know, you've got that Saturday, a full day of community and music and just a lot of fun. You can't beat the atmosphere there. You can't beat the price to see this caliber of artists. And the tickets are only available online at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. I know a lot of people are really excited for Courtney Barnett and Margot Price, but Alan Sprahawk, of course, and his new album. But Jeremy Albino.
Yes. So that's the artist I'm most excited. I think he's going to be secretly kind of the must-see act of this lineup. We had his album as our album of the week a few months back. The new one is called Our Time in the Sun. This is Jeremy Albino. This song is called Since I've Been Knowing You.
showing you all my love, Lord above. Girl, you've been giving me so much ecstasy. What have we become, Lord above? Baby, a fool would only want to go and do your own. Do your own. It's not hard to see what you've done for me. I realize I was blind, and now my life with you is just a dream come true.
And that was Jeremy Albino from his new album, Our Time in the Sun. That song is called Since I've Been Knowing You. Going to be at Grand Rapids Riverfest Saturday, September 6th. Get your tickets at grandrapidsriverfest.com. I think Jeremy Albino, because last year S.G. Goodman was, I think, the artist that kind of blew everyone away that maybe people weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. I think Jeremy Albino is going to be that this year at Grand Rapids Riverfest.
Heather was... Were you at Grand Rapids Riverfest?
This is Heather Johnson.
I was, yeah.
And was that your first one?
It was, yes.
Yeah. So I this music, Jeremy Albino, I could see you and I just swaying.
So.
We're wearing some big earrings. We're having fun, the two of us.
That's
you
kind
know.
Of our thing, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, Andrew doesn't get to have fun.
Yeah.
You can wear big earrings. You can pull it off.
Yeah, we could all hang out and just, you know, when we start talking about Riverfest, it's like I can actually see the music or what it's going to be like kind of bouncing off the Mississippi River. I know it sounds insane, but you can get kind of a feel for like what the day is going to be like.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Kind of magical, actually.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts of going to it last year? Granted, this is, you're going for work.
Yes. It was amazing to see the transformation because our Bemidji crew, the fish crew, we stop at Bovee halfway there.
Wait, what?
We call it fish crew, so we stop at the Bovee, or not Bovee.
You go to Bovee and then back to Grand Rapids?
No.
Oh, you're...
The fish.
Bina?
Bina,
yes,
you.
Or
I had Bovee on my brain. So.
Yes, gotcha. Bina Ball Club,
so
Bovee.
Fish crew, yeah.
Yeah, we always take selfies when the whole crew is on the way to Grand Rapids.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, so we saw it like the night before when the whole space was getting set up, and it totally transforms, like unbelievably transforms. People are putting in like huge supportive beams for lights and hooking up all the electricity, and it does not look like the same space. So that part is amazing. And then just the stage, oh my gosh, it's huge and amazing. And I did love S.G. Goodman so much last year. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I get to have a membership table this time.
Oh, cool. So people get to meet Heather.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be... And also, like, the... You can't beat, like... This is something that KEXE puts together. It's part of our mission to create events where people come together. It also supports the local businesses. Those food trucks that are there, it's just kind of crazy. Like, wouldn't that... It just reminds me of like what it might be like to live in a city where there's you go to a food truck for lunch. You guys kind of get that here. Yeah. There's some food trucks around here more, I think.
Yeah, and they're great food trucks too at Riverfest. They were fantastic last year. So yeah, really, really just there's so much to do. And then, of course, the people you get to meet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite part is like during the headliner when it gets dark out and just everyone's around the stage there. It just feels like, wow, it's you're in a moment, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't, you don't really realize how many people are there, especially when it gets dark, you know? And then it's like you start paying attention to, like if you have to leave your group of friends and come back and how many people are there, it's like, wow. And I the space is the thing people ask the most about too. Like people actually stop at KEXE and they're like, we don't understand how this could be here. We don't get it. How could it be at the library? That doesn't make any sense.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, how do they pull this off? Because I had never gone before. And it's crazy. The hillside just it fills in with people and it's just magical. And it sounds great. Mm-hmm. Like the music sounds great all the way in the back or in the front or wherever you are. So
we are, what was I going to say? This is also, you know, I said this is something KEXE does. It's part of our mission to create these events. And that means we need people to come to them so we can do them in the future. Right. We've been talking a lot to you about funding issues and the crisis that public media is in. Part of that is like being a part of KEXE by going to the festival, by buying a ticket maybe for a friend as a gift or something. That really helps us out as well to help us continue to bring great music to Northern Minnesota.
And no one else is going to bring artists like Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, and then last year Spoon or Jason Isbell the year before.
Right.
No one else is going to bring those kind of caliber of artists to our area except us. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Dessa. Oh my gosh. So many great. Wilco, the first year, my gosh. Seeing the Wilco with their sign up behind them, that's something else. But anyway, and also how much I love the thing because I usually help out, it seems like, to clean or set up green room in the library.
Oh, sure.
Often I'm on the setup or the cleanup the next day of the library. And most bands are really good. But last year, I don't know what band it was, but they ate popcorn in the children's section.
Oh, no.
But a lot of cleanup there. We did because we love the library and we would never do that to them. But it's kind of fun to see what the bands are doing and to know how much the bands love being in a library. And some of them are reading. They're like grabbing books and, you know, it's very... Very
or
cool.
Fishing gear.
Yes.
I heard that.
That's right.
Which band was it that wanted fishing gear last year?
Might have been Spoon.
Was it Spoon?
It wasn't Spoon.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Andrew is our Spoon expert.
And you know they weren't fishing?
I know for a fact they weren't
fishing. Do you think if they had been fishing, they would have used spoons?
Oh, my.
I don't get that joke.
Oh, sorry.
I get it. I totally get it. A spoon. It's good for Northerns.
Yeah.
So we hope that you will not only come and have a great time, but understand events like this, they're not easy to put on. They cost a lot of money. We continue to do that when we can. But as we keep saying, future funding is in jeopardy right now. So there's a lot of different ways that you can help us. We'd love to talk to you about it as well. But, you know, consider buying a gift for a friend by getting them a ticket to Grand Rapids River Fest. The only place you can buy the tickets are at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com.
.org. I highly recommend.
Org.
Like, I had a friend from the cities come up with me last year. And he had a great time, and I think he's going to do it again this year.
Yeah.
So you won't be disappointed, you know, making the trip from the cities.
Absolutely.
So if you have a friend in the cities and you're like, this is time to come up.
Yeah.
North.
I have two groups of people. They've come every year, and it's people I used to work with. 30 years ago now, in St. Paul at the legislature. And they were both my bosses. They're librarians who I hold in such high esteem. Mm-hmm. And they come every year. And so I get to reconnect with them because they love this kind of music. And then I've had high school friends. I've told them about it. And they've come over from Duluth. And it's just been a really fun sort of thing because we have some downtime so we can hang out with people. I also like I'm moving around a lot and get to see a lot of different people and, you know, introduce myself to people. And it's a fun day.
It is. It's a great day. I had friends come as well. And it's one of those things where we're all so busy right now. But they were like, you know what, we're going to buy tickets just so we can do the concert together. You know, even though I was working, I still got to see them and got to watch some music with them. And it was amazing. It was just a magical night.
Yeah. Ugh, good times. Yeah. I'm thinking of all the different people I've run into, like people that call in or text regularly, and then they come up and introduce themselves, or a friend of my brother's who comes every year from Brainerd and always finds me and gives me a hug, and you know, just great.
And working at the merch booth last year was so much fun because people would come up and and say, oh, I'm so and so, and I'd be like, oh yeah, you're a sustainer, and they'd be like, what, you know that?
I know.
Of course I know that.
Well, and I mentioned this friend of my brother's who comes every year. She is a teacher in Brainerd, and she and a group of teachers do this every year now. They've just started school, so it gives them a little bit of relief to come that weekend. So that might be something too that you might want to do.
Absolutely. And the lineup is fantastic.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great from start to finish.
So, Heather, we were also talking earlier this morning about Saturday morning cartoons and the cereals we eat.
Oh, yeah.
While watching said cartoons. Do you have some opinions on this?
Well, Looney Tunes is classic. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Were you watching the Looney Tunes where it would be like Bugs and Daffy at the beginning with like, on with the show, this is it.
Yeah, the classic one. That would have been
I think it's so interesting, like if you watch that stuff as a kid and how the classical music in it, you didn't realize what it was. And then when you grow up, you're like, what? I know this from Looney Tunes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or the caricatures of like Fred Astaire and
or Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, or
here it goes.
Peter Lorre.
They loved making fun of Peter Lorre.
They did. Well, everybody did because he was kind of, you know, he was considered very odd looking,
like character actor.
Yeah. So love that, and then Darkwing Duck was one of my very favorite cartoons. That was a little bit later. I probably would have been a little bit older.
Did it upset you that Launchpad was in both Darkwing Duck and DuckTales?
No.
How did he find the time?
Cartoon time, first of all. It's different. But it was a spinoff. It was a spinoff of DuckTales.
Was it?
And Tailspin, maybe.
No, there was no Launchpad in Tailspin.
Was there not?
No.
Okay.
They were all bears.
Huh. I love cartoons did that, though. I mean, that's when TV shows did that as well. Like, All in the Family, the spinoff was the Jeffersons and Maude and, you know, these things.
And then there's Maude.
Yeah. That's one of the best theme songs from a TV show, I would.
I just love Bea Arthur so much. I could watch her on TV shows all day.
Yeah, I was recently reminded of The Ropers.
Oh, I saw. Did you see everybody dressing up as Mrs. Roper?
I have seen that. It still confuses me. But
why they would do it now?
Yeah.
Because you can wear a muumuu and a wig with curls.
Couldn't you always do that?
Well,
was it illegal?
The way that she was so blousy and came and showed up and her, you know, he was always, Norman Fell was her husband, Mr. Roper. And they had their own show, a spinoff of that.
Yeah, and there was
another
character who had a son. What's his name, though? Jeffrey Tambor was in it.
Oh, sure.
Which I did not remember.
Yeah.
And I think it only lasted a season, but it just happened to be on. We recently were able to pick up a little bit of TV, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what's on TV. And I'm like, oh, this was on TV 40 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fun to get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, to realize sometimes you got to set your brain straight because something you loved at that time maybe inappropriate now. You watch it with different eyes, or it can be like, I used to love cartoon Hong Kong Phooey.
No,
like that's a good theme song too. Number one super guy, Hong Kong Phooey. Pretty racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a disclaimer before Looney Tunes now, too, saying, look, these were, you know, it's of its time.
And I was thinking of I'm sure I have not watched Three's Company, but I'm sure that not held up the content of
You know, it was fairly creepy at the time, mm-hmm. I think, too, or in reruns, I guess. I don't know when it actually was on the air. Was it the early 80s or the late 70s?
Late 70s, I think.
Yeah, it was. It didn't age
no,
well.
No, I think it was more 80s. It was... Well, we'll see. We'll check that out. But yeah, it was something my...
Corrections department.
For some reason, my grandparents loved Three's... Not my grandparents. My grandpa loved Three's Company. He just thought it was such wholesome family entertainment. I'd be like, Grampy? Is it? But he loved it. It's okay.
One show that kind of... I think holds up a little bit is the Andy Griffith Show.
It does.
Every time it's like just on the TV in the background, I get sucked in every time.
Yeah.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that holds up too. And Mary Tyler Moore. Those.
I haven't watched Mary Tyler Moore.
Ever?
No, I've never seen it.
Wow.
I know.
It's the best thing ever.
It's got Ed Asner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
Gavin McLeod. Yeah.
Speaking of spinoffs, Bud Grant. Wasn't that a TV show?
Ed Grant. Not
Ed Grant.
Bud Grant, the Vikings coach.
Oh. Yeah.
I loved Ed Grant, actually, the spinoff. No, not Ed Grant.
Well, I said Bud.
Mr. Grant, yeah. Because, anyway, it was a weird spinoff because it was an hour-long serious show, and this was coming from a half-hour comedy show, but he became a very serious editor at this paper, and I loved that show too. It was great. You don't see much from that. Okay, do we get in text in?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't seem like you just stopped mid-sentence.
I know, because I
but
did.
We heard from Mary from Cass Lake. Good morning, Heidi. Good morning, Andrew. Glad to hear from you, Mary. Good morning. And then we also heard from Betsy Crabb. Trampled by Turtles brought Alan Sparhawk on for a couple songs at Bayfront on Saturday. Ooh. It was a fantastic show. Trampled by Turtles doesn't have any shows listed for September 6th. I don't know if they'll make a surprise appearance.
Mm, we're not saying, but there's... it's Lou Grant. I can't believe I forgot.
Lou Grant.
Because it was always Ted Baxter saying, Lou. He was always saying Lou. So it's like, how did I not remember that?
Ted Baxter, he was the one on Caddyshack, right?
Yeah. I can't believe you think of him first as that and not Ted Baxter. Yeah. So good. It just, you got to see Chuckles the Clown.
Okay.
Episode, it's the best.
That gets played
thing
on like
ever.
Best of TV moments
yes.
a lot. Back when the day they used to do like TV specials of just like most famous moments in TV history.
Yeah, yeah, it's super fun.
So maybe homework, you just find us.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to watch the entire Mary Tyler Moore series by Monday.
And then go move on to Rhoda, and there was also Phyllis, and you know, but you don't have to move on to those. Coming up, we're going to have Malachi Coons for Headwaters. Make sure you stay tuned.
We receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
Thanks also to Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing. They offer cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
And we receive support from the Water.